This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Scioli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Scioli listener.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Scioli podcast.
All right, the Phillies have a evolved mascot. We'll say the Fanatic has had a little bit of a change due to a major federal copyright lawsuit. Bernie Sanders on path to become a Democrat nominee and panicking Democrats in Pennsylvania. And the president, a little namaste in India. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Scioli Show on Twitter at Rich Scioli and Facebook.com/Scioli Show. I'm back. I have the flu and I'm a little low energy today. I'm feeling low energy. I guess I'll feel that way for the next couple weeks. It's okay. It's all right. We can get through it. A lot of caffeine.
I think we know you. But, like, I think in general...
Don't say... What? Don't joke about that.
Oh, right. Sorry. Kids, does anyone have cocaine for post-flu energy levels?
Scioli does not need any. You have very high energy.
I'm struggling today.
Scioli low energy is like the average person high energy.
I like that, actually. That's good. Low energy, I'm still higher energy than most people.
That's right.
Now, you remember that time Bernie asked the kids if they had any cocaine, yes. If they ever tried cocaine?
This is like decades ago, and he was speaking to a little children's. They were like kindergartners, right?
Yeah. Has anyone ever tried cocaine? Or know where I can get some?
The one kid's like, I'm a kid. No. Yeah.
Is that the powder my daddy has on his nose when he comes home from work on Wall Street? But, you know, I did the Tamiflu thing and the kids had it. And then last week we were sitting after the show. I guess it was on Wednesday morning.
Yes.
Because the debate was.
You know, have some problems with drugs occasionally.
This is it.
Who wants to talk to me about that one? What about drugs? Is that a problem?
I like Coke.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that one? Hold on. Who said they like Coke?
Me.
All right. You tell me about that.
I like Coca-Cola.
Oh, Coca-Cola. All right, but who knows about cocaine? Anyone ever seen cocaine?
Do you have a number for your dealer?
He's lucky that some parents didn't complain and say, what the heck?
He's like McGruff the crime dog, but trying to score a kilo of coke while he's at it. Well, so let's talk about cocaine. Oh, okay. Like, where in your dad's dresser would it be? The third drawer?
No, come on.
The sock drawer.
Or do I have to go to his office? So Wednesday after the show, and we had our debate watch party that night. So thank you if you came out. And sorry if I missed you when you came out. I posted it on social media. I didn't know what to do. Is I wanted people to still come out, but I didn't want people to be mad that I wasn't there. But we decided... I have an abundance of caution. I should not go because I didn't want to get anybody else sick.
Right, of course.
And I went to urgent care, and the doctor was like, I'm putting you on Tamiflu, and you got to stay away from people for the next 5 days. And I said, okay, fine. So she gave me a fake doctor's note, and then I stayed away for 5 days. But she said, though, this is the worst flu season she's seen in, like, 20 years. And I told her, I said, I got the shot. My kids had the shot. She's like, it'll help you if you had the shot, not get it as severe, but... Bill was telling me, millennial Bill, he's never gotten the flu shot. That kid, he doesn't have the flu. Right, Bill? You've never even gotten the shot.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't gotten it since probably 7th or 8th grade.
Wow.
when I got the flu.
You
I
realize
got the flu
you
then.
Just jinxed yourself.
Yeah. I probably did.
Yeah, you're going to get it from me now. Ugh. You'll be the one guy that actually gets it.
That's why
you get like coronavirus, flu virus. Now you just totally jinxed yourself.
That's why I tried to stay away from Rich today.
Smart. Well, Greg won't even look at me.
Oh, I know.
Right. Greg's I'm not going that far.
Greg's That's afraid true. He can get the flu by visual contact.
No, I don't. I'm glad we're in separate studios, and I'm, I will all the stuff you need. I've prepared you, but I sent it in via telegraph, and that's it.
He said to me yesterday, he goes, "Why don't you just do the show from home?" Okay, come on, man, I'm not that bad.
No,
don't even leave the house. Just call in, phone it in.
Last week he was like, "I don't really feel that bad. Maybe I can do the show." I'm like, "No, stay home. You're contagious." No,
here's the thing. It's from the children. We always talk about
the children. Yeah,
the kids and your kids. Even my David, seventh grade. They sneeze. They sneeze on you. They sneeze everywhere. It's like a crime. They just it goes airborne. It's so highly contagious.
It's still not working.
Well, somebody said that to me on Twitter, which is that because I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. Now we have a baby on the way. So you know, next April we're gonna have a newborn. As the kids,
that's this April,
right? This April, right? And Patrick's starting kindergarten in the fall.
Ugh.
Basically, brutal. They're gonna be a petri dish, and I'm just gonna wind up getting sick. And I don't want it because people are like, well, you know, well, Trump never takes a sick day. I go, yeah, but he doesn't have little kids anymore. You know what I mean? I'm sure that when one of his kids were sick, he probably got sick. It's the kids. That's the problem, is they're bringing home all kinds of new germs every day.
Exactly.
And then I haven't been exposed to him yet, so then we're getting sick. Because, look, you got to take care of the kids, right? If baby Claire needs to be cuddled because she's not feeling well, you got to cuddle her. It's your daughter, right?
Yes.
And
you're up all night.
Yeah, you got to take care of her. That's the thing. So kids are like a petri dish. But my concern is this just going to be the new normal for me for the next, 10 years?
No.
No.
Your immune system will strengthen.
Oh, that's
over
good.
Time. And actually, when he starts kindergarten, that's better. Daycare is the worst.
Yeah.
Because why? Because parents drug up their kid with the little liquid kitty stuff because they have to go
they
to work.
They send him in.
Right. It's their child care.
Right.
Whereas in most schools, they'll have a school nurse. It's a little better once they start school.
Because
the
school nurse isn't going to tolerate that crap. She's going to send you home if you got a fever. Whereas daycare, they're not. They kind of look the other way.
And the school nurse takes them in a separate off, immediately sequesters them. So that's the big thing.
And then I've heard from parents who never had their kids exposed to daycare or preschool before kindergarten. And then their kids got there and got everything. They got sick because they were never exposed to anything before that. So really, either way, kids are a disgusting, germy little miracle.
Just, the big thing is teach them the vampire, picture the vampire with the cape, with the elbow up, and they got to sneeze into that.
I do. I show them Nancy Pelosi's picture and I say, you see how she covers her mouth? Bella Lugosi, Pelosi, just do the same thing. Patrick's very good at that. Claire Bear, not so much.
Yeah, Claire Bear.
We sit there and she just sneezes. I go, honey, cover your mouth. And she shakes her head. No.
Not you. It's
doing it. And then the Tamiflu is an amazing drug with bourbon. It goes down nice and easy. A little hot toddy action. You know what I mean?
Flu tips from Zioli.
Flu tips.
Bourbon with Tamiflu.
Bourbon and Tamiflu.
On ice.
It's a wonderful cocktail. But I was able to watch the debate and live tweet Wednesday night, which we can't really do that anymore because we got to get up and do the show. But live tweeting the debate was fun. I enjoyed that very, very much. And then I was fired up after. But one of the things I realized is that all of a sudden you'll just get a bout of exhaustion. They say that lasts a couple weeks after the flu. And what the doctor said was the biggest concern with the flu this year is that it can morph into pneumonia or bronchitis or something else.
Yes.
So she said you got to monitor for that after the flu. She's like, the flu's not really that bad, but it's the post-flu stuff that you can get. But I'm starting to wonder now, is the flu shot just a big fugazi? Is always a very controversial thing. No, you say no.
No.
Not a fugazi.
No, it's not a fugazi because...
Big flu? Big pharma?
No. And they're working on a 2-year vaccine. I did a big story, actually, with the experts at Cooper. Recently. So they're working on a 2-year vaccine. And what they've realized is it would be better if we didn't have to go every year.
Right.
And then if they worked on a multi-year vaccine and then they can supplement it along the way as because we look at Australia. A lot of people don't realize that. We look at Australia. So they knew 6 months ago this might be the worst in 10 to 20 years. And they were right. It's the worst.
Oh,
because
I see.
Australia
the season,
terrible.
You mean.
Yes,
right.
the
gotcha.
Season. But really, it's now that with the weather warmer, they're saying now the flu season might go in well into May. So they're even saying right now, even if you think your flu shot wasn't that effective thus far, we may hit other strains that it was effective for. So get the flu shot.
But I love, don't you love the argument, like the answer, you go, well, I had the flu shot, and now I got the flu. And they go, yeah, but it'd be much worse without the shot. Don't you love that
yes.
answer? It's like, we can never be wrong, flu shot industry, because, oh, well, it would have been worse. How do you know?
Cut it down by a day.
Yeah, you would have had it one whole day more. That's the funny thing, though, about the Tamiflu. The woman goes, you're still going to have the flu, but you'll have it for a whole day less. One day less.
So do you think your flu wasn't as severe because you got the flu shot or because you caught it early and started the Tamiflu
both.
Right away?
I think, I mean, probably both, but definitely the Tamiflu. I would recommend that drug in a heartbeat. I don't know why they just don't let the pharmacist give that out. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, just walk in the pharmacy and just let the
They want the they put the like Q-tip thingy up your nose, much like strep is in your throat. They want to test it because they want to keep the records too.
Yeah, she told me that test is only about 60% effective. The quick flu test is only about 60% effective.
Well, that's
Yes, you got a 40% chance of leaving there with the flu and them going,
you're fine.
Hey, go infect other people. Go ahead.
60% effective, double the cost.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. If you want the effective test, it takes 2 to 4 weeks to get the results back, and it's 100% effective. But by then, you'll either be dead or you won't have the flu anymore.
I mean, you could just Google, and that's 60% effective. Just Google and say, hey, I have, I have the flu because Google told me.
No, it'd be more effective for me to just text Dr. Maz and go, I think I have the flu. And he'd go, yeah, you probably do. And then that'd be just as effective and save me a copay.
Yeah, exactly.
But
60% effective.
You know, in the Zioli Army, we have a lot of young parents, and a lot of parents have been saying on Facebook and Twitter, they're like, there's nothing you can do. The kids are going to bring it home. It's just the way it's going to be. And it's just the way it's going to be. So it's not about your immune system. There's really nothing you can do. You're going, when you have little kids, you're going to be exposed. You're going to get sick.
Yeah.
Because, you know, every now and then people go like, suck it up, buttercup. It's like, dude, I can't suck it up with my kids in kindergarten bringing home germs that I haven't seen in 30 years, you know?
But the truth is, if you've ever had the flu, you feel, the last time I had the flu was years ago, the actual flu. You feel like you're going to die.
Yes.
Like the body aches and the fever. I thought I was going to die.
Oof.
So if you've had it before, I know Greg.
Greg's freaking out.
My health anxiety is over.
Greg's freaking out.
This is
I love
awful.
It.
Wait,
but,
it's awful.
So all I'm saying is the vaccine and the Tamiflu, you know, make you forget that how bad it is. So I just can't say strongly enough to people, get that vaccine. It's not 100%, but I think it just mitigates, and the Tamiflu mitigate what could be terrible. And we did see the tragedy. I think there's a memorial today for that 7-year-old
boy.
Oh my gosh, in Delco.
Well, thanks for depressing the hell out of us over that. I mean, really, you got to go there.
Get the vaccine, people.
We saw what the bubonic plague did on the ships with the rats and the...
That's right. Well, the bubonic plague is in Los Angeles because they got the rats and
the homeless people.
And it's, oh my God. It's
remember
terrible.
This. Remember this. The
Donnie
flu shot.
Downer here.
Donnie Downer. The flu shot is 100% effective 30% of the time. Okay? Remember that.
Oh my God.
So 30% of the time, it's 100% effective.
Yep.
And during this season, it's really important to drink a lot of liquids.
Yeah, they always say that too.
Water.
This is the other big scam, the hydration scam.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Big water.
It's not a scam.
I don't buy that. Yeah. Every person I know said the same thing to me. Make sure you have lots of fluids. Lots of fluids. How's fluids going to do? What are fluids? Am I going to pee out the flu? It's not how this works. No.
It flushes your system.
It does not.
Keeps things moving.
Well, you got to stay hydrated.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah,
exactly.
Hydration is the most important part of the human system.
Thank you, millennial.
Please.
Say millennial.
Wait, that's
a
scam, too. These people that walk around water jugs all day, you see these people?
Those are fitness gurus.
They carry around their jug of water attached to their body like they're going in the desert.
Yeah.
Like they might accidentally stumble into the Sahara on their way home from work. These people crack me up. And these water jugs are always huge, right? It's not just like a simple cup. It's like 48 ounces of water strapped to their back. Some people have it on the front of them.
And they have a line on it.
Yeah, and they're carrying it around and it's slumped over. I gotta refill. And they're always getting up to go to the bathroom every like 5 minutes. You can't have lunch with them.
Then
they gotta get up to go to the bathroom every 2 seconds.
Jinx.
And then they come back and they fill it up, more water. These water people, I'm telling you, it's the whole thing with them. Chill out, man. Nobody needs that much fluid.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Now, if Bernie Sanders is right now the man in the Democrat Party, either to stop or to support, I'm telling you right now, there's no way the Democrat establishment is going to let him walk away with this if they can stop him. And they probably can because they have the superdelegate advantage, which is why I've been saying I still don't think that Michael Bloomberg can be counted out, even though he had one crappy debate. And he did. It was a terrible debate. It was awful. But he's got billions and billions of reasons why that debate is not going to stop him from potentially becoming the nominee. Now, if he stinks tomorrow night in the debate, then that's a whole nother issue. Super Tuesday, Mike Bloomberg has been putting all of his eggs in the Super Tuesday basket March 2nd, next week. And he didn't even try Nevada. He was only on that debate stage last week, either as a gigantic political malpractice or because he wanted to just see how bad he was going to be before the actual debate that mattered, this one tomorrow night in advance of Super Tuesday. But Democrats are panicking that Bernie is unstoppable at this point, panicking. Democrat House Whip Jim Clyburn on ABC's This Week with the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos, he thinks that Bernie winds up just destroying everybody.
As far as Bernie Sanders goes, he built out that coalition in the state of Nevada, broader coalition than he had in New Hampshire and in Iowa. But you're already starting to see these attacks for his background as a Democratic socialist. How deep will that cut in South Carolina? And if he's the nominee, do you think it could put the House majority in danger?
A lot of people think so. I do believe it'll be an extra burden for us to have to carry. This is South Carolina, and South Carolinians are pretty leery about that title, socialist. And so I think that would be a real burden for us in these states or congressional districts that we have to do well in. If you look at how well we did the last time and look at the congressional districts, these were not liberal or what you might call progressive districts. These are basically moderate and conservative districts that we did well in. And in those districts, it's going to be tough to hold on to these jobs if you have to make the case for accepting a self-proclaimed Democratic socialist.
Bernie Sanders is out there telling people that illegal immigrants, have a right to free health care, a basic human right to free health care. Now, they may have a basic human right, but that doesn't mean they have a right from the American taxpayers to pay for it. But Bernie believes that. Bernie believes that basic human right to health care, even for illegal immigrants, translates into you as a taxpayer paying for that. Now, what do you think is going to be a great incentive for people to try to come to this country illegally? Free health care, obviously, right? That's one of the things Bernie stands for. I don't care where you are on this issue of illegal immigration. When you start talking to people about giving free health care to illegal immigrants, you wind up getting into a situation where even moderate Democrats think that is insane. And that's the point. I think a lot of the point that you're hearing about the opposition to Bernie is some of the stuff that he talks about is crazy. It's crazy. And not only does he lose the presidency, he brings down ballot candidates down with him. And I don't think he just stops at the House. I think he brings the House down. I think he brings the state Senate down, state legislatures. Hell, it could go all the way to the county courthouse. It really could. That's how bad Bernie could do as a candidate in terms of other Democrats. James Carville, who got a president elected, along with the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. But unlike Stephanopoulos, Carville doesn't pretend that he's not a Democrat hack. He knows he's a Democrat. He's not pretending to be anything different. You got to respect that because the two guys that ran that campaign in 92, James Carville and Stephanopoulos, and there's Stephanopoulos asking questions about who should be the Democrat nominee, like he's just completely unbiased and a journalist. Carville doesn't pretend to be that. He just says it the way he sees it, and he says how bad this is going to be for the party, and if the DNC can't even run anything properly, cut 8C.
There is a clear, defined front runner. Who knows when they're going to count the votes or the caucus goers or the rank choice or whatever. You know, I'm here at the public TV station, you all, in Endymion, which is this marvelous Mardi Gras parade, starts about 350 yards from here. They got a gazillion floats. They're able to organize that, to put it together, to roll out on time, to do everything. If the DNC was running a carnival parade, we'd never get up and never get out of the chute. But we can't worry about that. It's obvious that Senator Sanders is going to do very well tonight. It's obvious that he's the front runner. It's obvious these other candidates have not sufficiently talked about him. It's obvious that he's never been vetted in the press. I've not seen the four-part series in the New York Times or the Washington Post or NBC News or anything else. So we're in a whole new ball game here, and this game is could end a little after mid-March. And some of these candidates are going to have to make really hard decisions about who stays in and who gets out and where we go from here. So, Brian, I just think there's one big, huge, screaming story here tonight is, and that is there is a front runner in the 2020 Democratic presidential race.
Yeah, and you know what? The front runner is Bernie Sanders, and that's why the party has to make a decision. Are they going to coalesce around somebody else? So who do they coalesce around? Joe Biden has no money. He has no money. Buttigieg has no money. Amy Klobuchar has no money. Biden is broke. Biden was the Democrat frontrunner. He's broke. He's broke. I mean, come on. How do you turn around and say to me, Biden can still win this thing? Politico story from 3 days ago. Warren, Biden, and Buttigieg dangerously close to going broke. Apart from Bernie and the billionaires, the Democratic presidential field is hurting for cash. Hurting for cash. Biden has $7 million cash on hand. That's it. $7 million cash on hand. I know it sounds like a lot of money, but it's not a presidential. He hasn't even spent any money for Super Tuesday. Do you realize that not one of these candidates, not one of either Biden, Buttigieg, or Klobuchar has spent any money on Super Tuesday yet? And then you talk about Elizabeth Warren, America's mother-in-law. She has no money either. But Klobuchar has $2.9 million cash on hand. I mean, Warren was the closest to the red with just $2 million left in her account. They don't have the money to go up in Super Tuesday states and compete. That's why I say to you, Bloomberg still is probably going to be the nominee because he's flooding those states with advertisements, and the party has to recognize it's either back one of these moderates who has no money or get behind the billionaire before it's too late to stop Bernie Sanders. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Bob is in South Jersey. Bob, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay.
I hope you're feeling better soon.
Thank you, Bob.
We've been hearing, you know, all the percentages. You know, Bernie gets, you know, 47% in Nevada, et cetera. But how's the total vote count? How does that compare to the last couple of elections? Are the Democrats really turning out or are they staying home?
Yeah, well,
heard much about that.
It's pretty consistent with 2016. There hasn't been much of a change, which is interesting because if people are still coming out, the same numbers they did in 2016, but Bernie's only getting as much or even less support, that means then Democrats are not all on board with him like they were in 2016, which is another problem for him, I think, if he's the nominee. Now, everybody thinks that if he's not the nominee, all these people are going to stay home. But if he is the nominee, he may not even have that much support within the Democrat Party.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Well, I appreciate that answer. You guys have a great day. I listen to you every day. I can't wait to turn my radio off.
Well, thank you, Bob. That's great to hear, buddy. Have a great day yourself. Joe is in Philly. Joe, good morning.
Hey, you doing, Rich? How are you this morning?
Doing well, pal. How you doing?
Good. I need your put your political hat on for me. Bernie represents the socialist progressive wing of the party. He's out front with it. The mask is off. I do believe the rest of the candidates share his ideology, but they like to hide as a moderate. Do you think that the Democratic establishment, like Clyburn, you just had on a couple minutes ago on a piece, are they going to take Bloomberg's money to take out the radicals like AOC, Tlaib, Omar, so they could put a more moderate face on their progressive wing? Just like,
yeah.
What's their end game anymore? I've been watching this for the past month. I know they're going to take Bloomberg's money, but do they really want Bloomberg? Are they going to waste this election cycle for the next cycle in 2024? I mean, there's all kinds of questions now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, listen, it's a great question. It's a great question. The AOC has like five or six primary challengers that are facing her this coming summer. I think for Bloomberg, it would be very wise to make sure that they've got moderate-looking, centrist kind of Democrats on the ballot everywhere so that the crazies are no longer the face of the party, no doubt. And that's an advantage, obviously, his money brings to those moderate Democrats is they can say, I don't have to rely on just the crazy base. I can get money and try to win over centrist voters. That's another advantage he brings to the table that, quite frankly, no other candidate brings, you know?
Right, but let me ask you one other question. I heard this from a report. AOC kept all her money that she's raising. and she's distributing it through the country with like-minded candidates like herself. Is that a problem for the establishment?
Sure. Yeah, look, man, they've got to make a decision, right? Are they going to go kooky left and allow this party, their party, to be Bernie Sanders, AOC, or are they going to stop it, whatever it takes, and try to drastically redirect? Because they are no longer looked at right now as a sensible political party. That's the point James Carville's making. They look like a bunch of freaking crazy people.
They really do. They really, really do. And I think they have to really play the fence really well. They can really destroy this party. It's getting eaten up alive by the crazies. I think they already lost control. And I think they're just trying to do damage control.
Joe, have a great day, buddy. Thank you for your points. They're excellent. Andrew Yang, former presidential candidate Andrew Yang. I mean, if you think that what I'm saying is just because I'm biased, that the Democrat Party is cuckoo, loco, crazy, listen to what he says. Cut 7.
I agree with everything that that you said, Van. This is why I ran. And when I went around to Democrats, not Democrats, working class Americans around the country, if you have a D next to your name, it's like a scarlet letter. Like, they do not think Democrats speak to them. And I was talking to truck drivers and waitresses, and I was like, theoretically, aren't you who the Democratic Party should be speaking to and standing up for? But they thought that the Democratic Party wanted nothing to do with them. Mm. And that is, to me, a real problem with the Democratic Party. You have to do some soul searching if working class Americans think that your party is not their party. That's why I ran. I ran to say, look, we have to solve these underlying economic issues that have been festering and building up in our communities for years and decades that got Donald Trump elected. And to me, the Democratic Party never really reckoned with how the heck do you lose to Donald Trump?
Yeah.
You know, and then you just blame everything under the sun. Like
on the establishment, the so-called establishment.
But just keeping it, keep in mind, Donald Trump has unified the Republican Party.
He pulled it off.
He has actually brought his party to where he is.
Yeah, but you know, Andrew Yang's point is that he's gotten there because he's appealed to working class voters, and Democrats don't do that anymore, because when you have crazy socialists running around talking about giving free health care to illegal immigrants, working class Americans who get off the couch and go to work and work very, very hard for their money don't want to hear that their money is going to be taken, stolen from them, and then redistributed to people. They don't want to hear it. And I know that the media loves to portray them, and the left likes to portray them as racists who just don't like brown people coming into the country. That's BS. That's absolute BS. The fact is, they like the president's position on immigration because they don't want to have to pay for people to come to this country to get free health care when they've got all these deductibles that they've got to pay themselves. And it's crazy. And, you know, Andrew Yang's point about the Democrat Party not being for the working class is because the Democrats, with their redistributionist ideas, they just assumed working class people were going to love that stuff. And they underestimate the working class people understand how bad communism is. Like, you ask truck drivers, ask manufacturing guys, ask electricians and carpenters. They'll tell you how great this economy is for them and how busy they are and how you get a guy to paint your house. You got to wait 2 months to get him because he's busy. They don't want communism. Please. 855-839-1210.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Yes, indeed. 855-839-1210. Let's see now. As we look at Super Tuesday coming around the corner, I have to remind you that, you know, this is the time for candidates who have no money. They're going to be done. They're going to be out. Meanwhile, President Trump, when you ask people, 60% of people say that they are, in fact, they think he's going to get reelected. 60%. So what does that tell you right there for the president? Looking at social media, Michael J. something candidate said, please look at the policies of the other candidates on stage. They are not moderates. Okay, look, Michael, I've said this disclaimer a million times. I don't think they're moderates, but they are playing for the moderate vote. Okay? I've said this a million times, man. You don't have to tell me they're not moderates. I say that almost daily. But they're playing for the moderate vote, the moderate centrist Democrat vote. It's like these candidates in these districts around the country that Trump won. Trump won these districts, and Democrats won them in 2018. And these Democrats are going to pretend that they're centrist Democrats and that they're moderates. And compared to AOC, they look moderate for sure. I don't think they're moderate, but they are playing for that lane, you understand. That's a lane. Like in anything else in politics, you've got a certain lane you want to play for. Bernie, and to a lesser degree, America's mother-in-law, My Lotus, is occupying the socialist lane. These candidates, Biden, Buttigieg, and Klobuchar, and Bloomberg are trying to occupy the moderate lane. I'm not saying they're moderates. I've never said they're moderates. In fact, I've said the opposite. But I can't give that disclaimer every freaking day if you don't listen to the show every day. I don't know what to tell you, but that's very obvious that, you know, from where I stand, then again, from considering how I am with my political beliefs, it's very hard to find people that I would ever say are moderates in the Democrat Party. But certainly these presidential candidates who've all endorsed ending fracking and ending natural gas exploration, those are not moderate positions. Those are extreme positions. But they're trying to play for the moderate centrist vote of Democrats in the mainline who think that Bernie Sanders is insane with his policies. By the way, that check-in on social media brought to you by our great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Love driving my Volvo, and I love the experience you get at Cherry Hill Volvo. So please go and say hello, and you'll understand why I tell you that relationships there matter. They really do. And you can check in on social media on Twitter at Rich Zeoli or Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. Weigh in, and I will read some of your comments on the air. Jay is in Florida. Jay, what's up, buddy? Haven't heard from you in a while. What's going on?
Nothing major, brother. I just wanted to say, I told, it's kind of crazy you just played that, because I was telling your producer that, you know, in 2016, I think, I hate to admit it, but I think because of the Never Trumpers, I think Bernie Sanders would have won that. And I think he would have done it handily. And I think Trump won because of the Rust Belt states and because of Obama voters. And I think those Obamacrats that voted for Trump in 2016, I don't think they're going anywhere. And those Never Trumpers that stayed home, I think they're coming out. I think Trump has sold a lot of people who are like, he was a Democrat back in the day. He was always anti-gun. What's going to change now? I think all those people that didn't trust Trump back in the day, I think they trust him now. I think he's going to absolutely, you know, if Sanders goes in, this is beautiful to watch, because it's like we see, they're either going to sabotage him and the Bernie bros are going to tear everything apart, or he's going to get in and the people that are still, you know, the remainder of people are still half normal in the Democrat Party. Like, I can't vote for this guy.
Yeah.
So this is a beautiful thing we're watching.
I agree with you 100%. You know, the thing about it is that I remember in 2016, I remember being on the air, and the night before the election, I said to people, look, please, you got to make a choice here. There's only two people running. And if you care about the courts, you got to vote for Trump. And I've heard from so many people who've said how right that call was, because you look at what the president's done with the courts. There's no doubt that voters who were skeptical trust him now, because all they got to do is just look at the judges he's appointed, look at the federal makeover of the judiciary, and realize he's kept his promise on that, right? That's huge for cementing that level of trust.
I mean...
Oh, Jay, I think I lost you, buddy. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I think you broke up. I appreciate the call. But you're right, though, Jay. You're 100% right. The trust level's there. And then look at the other thing, too. Look at the economy. Look at how, for a lot of the Obama voters who voted on the economy in 2008, the Trump economy now is doing great. Like I said, you know, try to get a contractor to your house in a matter of days. I mean, they're all very busy now, which is a great thing, right? It's a wonderful, beautiful thing. But I talked to him. I talked to my buddy Guido Forcellini the other day from, you know, the guy who did my floors. And I said to him, I said, you know, like, how are you guys doing, Guido? And he said, I've never been busier, brother. He said, I've never been busier. I can't remember being this busy. So, you know, that's an economy that working class people understand. But you, in order to get people to want to vote against that, you got to offer them something different. And what are you going to offer them? Are you going to offer them free health care for all people and take away their health care benefits, free health care for illegal immigrants? You're going to do that? That's crazy. Nobody thinks that that's going to work. And that's the point James Carville's trying to say. They're not listening to him, though. Scott is in Delaware. Scott, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich. Mike Bloomberg could be a trillionaire, and he could spend every penny of his $1 trillion on his election, but he will not get elected because he's a dweeb. And he's very boring and morbid. And each time he opens his mouth, people run away. The second point I want to make is, unfortunately, I cannot agree with you. Yes, your Florida guy is busy. But the cost of housing and education and the basic necessities of life are so high now that people, the middle class, they're still getting crushed, Rich. And the lower class people, they're they're making out better, actually, than the middle class. The middle class is still getting crushed. And so the people, Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders, you know, they better be talking about money and the economy and hammering it, because people are suffering. They're still suffering.
So who in your mind is the Democrat that's identifying with the working class or the middle class, as you say?
Well, they got to do more than identify. They got to get into their shoes and get into their suffering.
Is anyone doing that?
No. No, they're not.
Okay.
And I'm afraid President Trump is resting on his laurels, and he's not hammering. We're not doing that well. You know, he has a tendency for hyperbole. You know it. I know it. He's a salesman. That's the way, you know, he's hardwired. That's okay. But none of the Bernie Sanders, none of them are picking it up and driving it home that people are suffering. And that's the key. That's why the Democrats are blowing this thing, because it's there for them to pick it up and run with it and score with it. But they're blowing it, man. They can't see it.
Well, I agree with you and I disagree with you. I disagree on the point that things are as bad as you say, but I agree with you on the point that the message has to be the economy and the middle class. I agree with you on that point. I also agree with you that Bloomberg is a terrible candidate, but I don't think they care. I think they want his money, and with him on the ticket and his money, it ensures that they can maybe keep the House. And I don't think they care one way or the other about the White House. They care about keeping control of the House. Of course, they care about the White House, but they want to keep control of the House of Representatives. If they lose that, they lose everything. So that's what
I
think for that.
It looks like a blowout if things don't change. Yeah, it looks like a blowout if things don't change. Yep.
Yeah, no doubt. Scott, thank you. You're welcome. I appreciate the call. See, I can be nice with people that I disagree with. 855-839-1210, because I know my mother's listening.
Richie, be nice to people, and I don't talk like that. Be careful. She was very concerned when I had the flu, as you can imagine. Very concerned.
I'm sure she was worried sick.
Dan says, would it be smarter for Democrats to just let Sanders go into 2020 and get crushed, or they can move on from this whole socialism phase? No, because you have redistricting to worry about. Like I've said, 2020 has huge implications. The state level, if Democrats get crushed, then you're going to have Republicans redesigning all those congressional maps in their favor, and Democrats can't risk that. They can't. So they have to make sure they at least control Congress. You have to understand. And I hate to, I'm not trying to say this like I know everything. I'm just saying that I've been there when this stuff has happened. Every 10 years they do the census and then they redistrict according to the rules in the Constitution. You only have a certain number of House seats, 435 House seats, which is the law. They could change that, but that's the law. And then they have to apportion those seats based on population. And let's say we've seen this exodus of seats of people from New Jersey and New York, which we have. Down to Florida. So now Florida has to get an extra seat. But let's say another state loses the seat. Whoever is the majority party in Congress gets to make those calls. The governor, the political party, the members of Congress, they make those determinations on how the map looks, and they can tweak things. I mean, we saw this in Pennsylvania, right? We went through this with what the Supreme Court did with the districts. But you move a town, you know, in or out of a district, and it completely changes the dynamic of that district. You can take a lean Democrat or lean Republican district, add a town of 5,000 people to it, and completely change it to a safe district for the particular party. And the Democrats can't allow themselves to be sidelined for that process. So the idea of having Bernie go up and lose everything and then turn around and go, oh, now we're back in charge. The cost to them to do that is Bernie brings the down all these Democrats. They lose the House of Representatives, and now on the state level, it's the members of Congress and the governor of that state working on their seat, their apportionment of that seats, and the Democrats don't have a seat at the table. And that's not where they want to be in 2020. They can't allow themselves to be in that place. It'd be disastrous for them. 855-839-1210. Matt's in South Jersey. Matt, so you were a Bernie guy in 16, huh? Yo.
Yep, I was right down there at the DNC in Philly, and you know, people were very angry, but I can tell you firsthand that the economic frustrations that were available then, they're not so much now. You have people like me, and I don't understand how I was a Bernie bro. Now I'm so far right, it's unbelievable.
Well, what was it about that appealed to you in 2016, Matt? And by the way, you sound like a young guy. How old are you?
I'm 27.
All right. So was that part of it too? Is that 4 years ago? You're 23, and Bernie's message appealed to you?
Yeah. I mean, you just look at a simple bar graph, and you can see that wages have been stagnant for 50 years. And I don't know why I assumed that the government would want to give me more wages. They're probably the ones that are more likely to stop me from having wages, because as soon as you get more money in your pocket, now you're getting political influence, and that's the last thing that the powerful want, is for middle class to have political influence. So you have all these Democrats out there talking about campaign finance reform. The biggest campaign finance reform that you can possibly have is putting money in people's pockets. I've given more money to Trump and other GOP people than I ever have in my life, hundreds of dollars.
Well, listen, brother, I appreciate the call. I appreciate you listening. And it's great to have somebody be able to come on the show and talk about how they were wrong and they've transformed politically. That you don't often get that. People usually just double down, even when they deep down inside know they're wrong. So I applaud you for that.
Thanks, Rich.
Matt, actually, hang on. I want to hung up. Call back, Matt, and Bill's going to hook you up. We're going to get you a Zioli Army sticker. All right. Got to take care of you for that. Got to make sure that, you know. Because someone once said talk radio is too old, too white, and too angry. I don't remember that name of that host. But clearly, with a 27-year-old calling the show, it's not accurate. He didn't sound angry to me. Just saying. All right, 855-839-1210. Greg's not going to say anything, Dawn. You see how he does that?
Yeah.
He zips it. You notice that?
What am I going to say? I
mean, would you say?
Nothing.
What would you say?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. You would say nothing to that. It sounds like a Dave Matthews song.
Say nothing.
What would you say?
Jay,
you want to do our movie mystery clip?
We can,
because every time, and I don't want to make jokes about tumors, but every time I hear you do the story about Phil Murphy with a tumor, all I think about is, I think about Arnold Schwarzenegger in Kindergarten Cop going, "It's not a tumor." So now we know the movie tomorrow. But that's all I think about. Every time the word tumor comes up, it's all I hear is Arnold Schwarzenegger going, "It's not a tumor." I don't know why that clip just stands out of my mind. That movie was terrible. Kindergarten Cop.
It was cute.
It was not. It's like the time he played was pregnant. Remember when he was pregnant?
Yes.
Was that Junior?
Yeah, how bad was that movie? Oh, man. But this is a different movie.
The Morning Mystery Clip on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
You got to understand something. If we leave the country, there's no coming back here. You know what I mean? There's no coming back. So that if there's anybody now that you want to talk to, you want to say goodbye to, do it now.
No.
Is there any special country you want to go to?
Wyoming.
No, Wyoming. That's not a country.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
It's a pair of tickets to see Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons on April 30th at the Met Philadelphia. For tickets and information, visit Ticketmaster.com. All right.
The Rich Zioli Show on your schedule. This is the Zioli Show podcast.
And let's say good morning to Dawn on this Monday morning as we get the week started off right.
And good morning. Good Monday morning. Yes, we have bright skies right now, 33 degrees. We will be warming up to 60 today. It's going to be lovely. Zioli Show News, sponsored by Wawa. So New Jersey is sounding the alarm for white supremacy. And this has been making national headlines. So citing the deadly attack in
December. Listen, I got news for everybody's leaving Jersey. The Klan's not coming in, right? Like, everybody's leaving. The KKK is not going to go, let's pick up and move to Jersey. Have the operation there. They're leaving, too. White supremacists are leaving, too.
This is interesting because, and there are people, you know, who've written to me or questions, just said, well, what credibility does this have? White supremacy in New Jersey? And the Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness of New Jersey, in its annual assessment report, which was released over the weekend, actually Friday night, said of the 44 domestic terrorist incidents reported across the USA last year, 4 had some kind of a connection.
4.
To New Jersey.
4 whole incidents. 4.
But that kosher supermarket in North Jersey, in Jersey City, that was a horrible situation. Remember, the officer was killed.
Yes.
Trying to, you know, rest and probably saved a lot of lives and that sort of thing. So that was an anti-Semitic situation. Basically, they're raising the whole alert to the highest level of alert.
Oh, please.
For white supremacy.
Give me a freaking break. Listen, I was at the mall, Morristown Mall, over the weekend before I got sick last weekend. And, Sears is closing.
Yeah.
So the KKK was there buying sheets. There was a sheet sale.
That's a sin.
That's true. That's what's happening.
Sin.
It's a true story. There are no whites. Where are these white supremacists in Jersey? Where are these people? Where are they?
I don't
know. The Pine Barrens? They're hiding with the Jersey Devil down there and
maybe.
The dead bodies of Tony Soprano? Stop. Come on.
So it's at high level. Highest level in many years. Happening right now, I should say this because it's
a fugazi warning is what it is. No, Jersey, be careful. White people are coming to get you, Jersey.
Happening right now, POTUS and FLOTUS in India. President
POTUS
Trump,
and FLOTUS. FLOTUS. Could you please explain what those...
President of the United States.
Yes.
And First Lady of the United States. So they're in India, as you may well know. So President Trump, First Lady Melania. They're in Agra right now, departing for New Delhi. And tonight at sunset, the first couple visits the Taj Mahal, one of the, what they call the new seven wonders of the world. So it's gleaming white and it's cleaned. Part of it is clean for the first time in 300 years for Donald Trump. So I guess they heard, you know, because he was in the hotel industry for many years. So I guess they've cleaned it better than they've ever cleaned it before.
That's smart.
So,
by the way, Joe Biden said you can't go into a deli without seeing a person of Indian descent in India.
No.
He said just said that. Remember that?
Cringe.
You can't go into a New Delhi without seeing somebody of Indian descent. No, it's this New Delhi, you idiot. It's not a store.
So tomorrow I'll be reporting on what Melania wore, because this has gone viral, the fashion world kind of watching, what will Melania Trump be wearing at the Taj, the monument of love.
Dawn, I'm just trying to think in
Greg's
the future.
Greg's wiping his eyes. Like,
if Elizabeth Warren did become president and then you're doing the report, My Lotus entered the, you know what I mean? My Lotus.
Elizabeth Warren in her gray sweater set.
Mother-in-law of the United States. Yeah, her gray sweater that she always wears. Like, she's always cold. It's freezing in here. What is it, like 82? Give My Lotus her sweater, please.
My Lotus. So a dino makeover for the most recognizable mascot in baseball. And this is still going viral. The Philly Fanatic now, you know, has a slightly different, brighter green color, body shape, outfit, as well as facial features. So the Fanatic, they say, is not a bird. It's a dinosaur from the Galapagos Islands, where, of course, Darwin studied. Scientists say birds are descendants of dinosaurs. That's where they get this. So the fuzzy mascot now has a ridge of scales lining the underside of each arm, has a kind of a teal blue tail, new socks and shoes, among the other changes. So this all amid this copyright battle with its creators.
You know, I think that they should have just started over with a new mascot.
Started over.
Yeah, and done like, I don't know, focus on Philadelphia being a safe injection site, a guy with a needle in his arm or something.
Or
Sanctuary City, maybe like a guy running from the cops or something. I don't know. You got to be just channel Philly. Maybe a guy with like a big giant can of soda running around for the soda tax. That could be good.
Greg's like now rubbing his head.
I know.
Doing the play-by-play
when the memo comes out later today from corporate.
I like the Fanatic changes. I like that he's a dinosaur. Kids will love
that.
He's
a dinosaur, yeah. Billy Penn had a great piece on this. It says, a new look proves that Philly Fanatic is a modern dinosaur. Because they got to be able to go to court and say the changes are enough to justify it being different. And they got to say, Your Honor, he was a bird. Now he's a dinosaur. And then that's why they'll say that they can get away with this. That's got to be their legal strategy.
I love it. I predict they'll settle with this copyright creator thing.
Yeah, they should have just settled already, you know?
Yeah.
Like free.
Totally.
Free Dollar Dog Day hot dogs forever. For the rest
That'll
of your life.
That'll do it.
Sold.
Hey, the forecast from NBC 10. First alert weather, 60 degrees today and sunny. It's a beautiful morning today. It's going to be mild. So, and mild the first couple of days this week. 52 tomorrow and Wednesday, but some spotty showers moving in. And then later in the week, we will see a cool down. So this news and weather, sponsored by Wawa. New stack sandwiches at Wawa, piled high with favorites like ham, turkey, or try the new pastrami. There's also a hunger-worthy lineup of classic hoagies and those sourdough melts, all $5.49 each. Gotta have Wawa. Reporting from Radio.com World Headquarters, Dawn Stensland, the Zioli Show News.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. Marianne sent a note. She said, I think we need to be very concerned about turnout in blue states because of states like Virginia that plan to give their electoral votes to the national popular vote winner. Is there anything going on in the courts to stop this for 2020? We don't have to worry about it for 2020. They won't be able to do it in time for 2020. The popular vote totals will matter after the election in only this sense, when they're able to turn around and go, well, he lost the popular vote again. But that's about it. Beyond that, there's no effort. They'll never get away with changing the popular vote to be over the Electoral College without a constitutional amendment. They'll never get enough states to agree to it to bind their electoral votes in that manner. And then it will be challenged by the court, and then it's clearly unconstitutional. The only way you're ever going to get rid of the Electoral College is through a constitutional amendment to get rid of the Electoral College, which I don't think would pass. But, I mean, could it happen in the future? Sure, anything's possible, but you don't have to worry about it for 2020. 855-839-1210. That check-in on social media brought to you by our great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. I also want to mention as well on Facebook yesterday, always appreciate when we get a Zioli Army shirt sighting, and thank you for doing that. Had over in on Facebook, Mike posted a picture. He was with a Zioli Army shirt. He said the Zioli Army represented at the Delaware Annual Beer Awards at Crooked Hammock Brewery in Lewis. So thank you for that. That's fantastic. Appreciate that. Antonio Vincenzo says, Rich, I've been a pharmacist for over 25 years and can offer this about the flu. I'm not the biggest believer in the flu shot unless you're elderly. I found the best practice against any illness is regular low-level exposure to germs. I saw an ad from a company selling used tissues. Sounds disgusting, but anecdotally, there's something to that. I've handed out hundreds of prescriptions every week that aren't very different from a used tissue. Would you ever use a used tissue to build up your immunity system, your immune system?
Oh, my. Greg and I are just like looking. That is
awesome.
So disgusting.
I love that. Used tissues by Kleenex. Kleenex Puffs. With is there a lotion? No, it's snot. Yes, Greg.
With the theory that what? If you get germs, your immune system will build up like a.
Yeah. That builds up your antigens, your antibodies, or whatever the hell it is. Sick, right?
Wash your hands, get sleep.
Wash your hands, get sleep, and walk. I would do like the other people walking around with those masks on.
Yeah.
They do in Asia.
I was actually contemplating coming to work today with one of those masks on just for you, but I don't
want
you.
They don't work. That's where the coronavirus is, Asia.
No, the coronavirus is everywhere. It's in Italy now.
No, but it started there.
It's
I know
coming,
it's in Italy.
He's right. It's coming. And in Italy, they're especially on the borders, they've got patrols. They're.
Oh, yeah. They're telling their residents not to leave. They're asking them to please stay in Italy. So,
do we have.
We do have, actually, it's funny you mentioned exclusive audio. The prime minister, he said, he came out and said, excuse me, it's just a stay. Eh? It's a nicer place, right? I give you some cheese and some wine. Eh? I said, okay, it's all good, all right? Excuse me, just stay. That's what they said, the prime minister of Italy. It's amazing. Leighton knows the movie of the day today. Leighton, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Rich, good morning.
Good morning.
Pronouns are work for hire and non-disclosure agreement.
Nice. Well done. Well done.
Hey, I wasn't going to try for the movie because I'm listening online, and I now know there's a delay online, but I thought it was obscure enough, and I'm old enough that I might be able to get it. So.
Well, you're not that old, but it is obscure enough. I'll go with you on that. So unless you are a diehard Al Pacino fan, but what is the movie?
Dog Day Afternoon.
You got it, brother. That's it. And his lover in that movie is played by the guy who plays Fredo in The Godfather, whose name escapes me right now, but he's a terrific actor. Dead, but passed away, but it was a great actor. It's a great movie, right?
Excellent. Excellent movie.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. True story.
I'll see you in Pittman. Cousin Amy coming along. You met her in Wildwood. Shout out to Amy.
Beautiful. We'll look forward to it. Yeah, that'll be a great day with the great one, Mark Levin. 855-839-1210. Mark is in Wayne. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Rich.
What's up, Mark?
Hey, Rich. You know, yesterday was the 40th anniversary of Miracle on Ice.
Yeah.
The U.S. Olympic hockey team defeated Bernie's old team. You think Bernie rooted for the Soviets?
That's a great question, man. Great question. And
real quick, Rich, if I may. You know, this DOJ Obama whistleblower, he just accidentally committed suicide. We know what happened to Seth Rich. 9 of the 12 people that saw the classified information on Anthony Weiner's laptop are no longer with us. If I'm Bernie, I'm worried. I don't think he makes it to November. They ain't going to let him get it, Rich. Not going to happen.
Yeah, you know, Mark, I don't think they'll kill him, but they'll definitely play shenanigans for sure. But, you know, by the way, Mark, thanks for the call. What's your talk? What he's talking about, I want you to understand, it's not crazy, just not getting a lot of national news. But Phil Haney, Philip Haney, was a DHS whistleblower during the Obama era. He was found dead. He was a Democrat Homeland Security whistleblower who was an outspoken critic of the administration of former President Barack Obama. He was found dead Friday about 40 miles east of Sacramento, California. He apparently suffered a single self-inflicted gunshot wound, according to the coroner. And, you know, it's stuff like that that makes people think the stuff that we think. That between, you know, it's just these kind of things Jeffrey Epstein and, you know, Seth Rich being killed in the streets and that sort of thing. It certainly does make people think, without a doubt. Yes, John Cazale, right? That's the actor who played Fredo and in Dog Day Afternoon as well, right?
Yes.
Thank you, Bill, for that. Am I saying it right? Cazale? I forget. All right. Either way. Well, Bill, you think the fanatic looks like he went on a diet, huh?
I do. I think he went on like a keto diet or something. The way his stomach compared to years past just looks smaller.
Really? Yeah. His butt looks bigger, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the fanatic's got back. Yeah. He's got booty.
Fanatic's
got back.
He's got to accent that new tail feather.
Just like Aqua.
You know, outside of Philadelphia, people that are listening at Radio.com must think, how stupid is this mascot story, right? Like, how dumb is this?
Everybody's talking about it.
I know.
It's the original real mascot that actually, like, lasted.
Well, the copyright law around this is amazing. It really is fascinating, this whole thing, the Sonny Bono copyright law, because you can ask for your copyright, but you can try to take it back, but that's the basis of this. And the lawyers involved here, I mean, one thing I'll say, I always say lawyers always win. If you're representing the Phillies or you're representing the artists who say that they were the ones who designed the Fanatic and should get the copyright back, you're making money, right? The lawyers always win. There's a lot of money to be made here. Am I right?
Big time. Because the creators announced this, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So for 2 years of lawyers, can you imagine?
The court process moves slow for a reason. That reason is billing. Billing by the hour. That's the reason.
Exactly.
All right, 855-839-1210. In fact, you know, the caller earlier made a great point about how people trust President Trump now that they may not have trusted him before 2016 and voted for him anyway. Now they've come to appreciate him. One of the reasons I've always said is the courts. Justice Sonia Sotomayor blasting the Supreme Court. Very rare the Supreme Court justices ever attack their colleagues or the court. In general, she blasted the entire court, saying that the court has become nothing more than a rubber stamp for Donald Trump now. And she said the entire federal judiciary has. So that's a good thing. When she's angry like that over the fact that the president has, as I put it, he saved the country from judicial tyranny, completely turning the track on that. That by far is Donald Trump's legacy more than anything, in my opinion, more than anything, because you know what? Economies come and go. Policies come and go. But the impact of the judiciary for the next 60 years, nothing comes close to the power and the impact of that. And that's Trump's legacy. And that is an amazing and beautiful thing. 855-839-1210.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.